Let's raise our hands together and say, our Father, name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we welcome revelation knowledge with accuracy and precision in our listening and the teaching of your word. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified as we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 20. Now we are rounding off for now our series In the Spirit and by the Spirit. The first service we looked at singing, and in the second and third services, the laying on of hands. Matthew's Gospel 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority which is the word power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And he says, amen. Now, I want you to pay attention to the very important statement there about teaching, which means that God wants his word to be communicated by teaching. Now, notice, Jesus was called many things, but one thing that stood out, now he was a healing minister. He healed the sick a whole lot. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power, went about doing good to heal all the oppressed of the devil, could go to him. Acts 10:38, yeah. And, you know, he did do signs and wonders and miracles. Acts 2:22, Hebrews 2:3, tells us that, God confirming the word with signs following. God also confirming message with signs, wonders, divers, miracles to give of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 2:4. Yeah. Jesus did that. And we know very well that he did heal the sick. But you see, one prominent thing he was called was a teacher. Watch this now. They did not have much problems with his miracles, even though they did criticize him. Stuff like that. And it's nothing new today. People criticize miracles today. And someone told me, well, can't we scrutinize miracles? I said, the moment you start to scrutinize miracles, you put yourself in a disadvantage to receive one. Alright? So ensure that you believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. Because I always need miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I just believe in miracles. You know? So I don't say, how can somebody who was dumb start speaking Jesus easily like that? You know, that's what they said about the Red Sea. That's what they said about what God needed. How can? It can happen, praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. I've seen someone who was dumb. He spoke out in English and spoke in tongues. I saw it myself. I've seen people who, you don't get the sad thing to scrutinize. Don't do that. So Jesus was a healing minister. But they didn't have as much problem with his healing ministry like his doctrine. Because that's what really, Matthew 7:28-29, they were astonished at his teaching. So a core part of Christianity is teaching. Didasco there, Matthew 28:20. Teaching is a core part of it. No one should feel comfortable in a church where they do Bible study different from their services. That is ridiculous. It's like going to school, alright, and then fixing the lectures only on Saturdays. Then Monday to Friday, I'm trying to get a song. I don't know any song that's coming to my head. We're gonna rock it. And then they play football. They prepare their students for Nuga. Did that say Nuga? Nuga games. And then they also do Miss Hot Legs. You don't know. Or they say Fine Face of the Faculty. Throughout the week, they say, okay, so guys, on Saturday, just 2 hours, don't worry. We'll have lectures. 2 hours. Don't stress yourself. You can even bring Sprite and drink it, and we'll be fine. But just 2 hours. And then we can... That's not a school. So church doesn't have Bible study. Church is Bible study. Now I'm not against those who pick during the week for Bible studies. I'm just saying that church is Bible study. So you shouldn't be comfortable in a church where they take teaching as a special meeting. I even know some churches, unfortunately so, that do prayer as a special meeting. They will do flyer. We are going to be praying on the 13th of November. Please take note. And then they'll give you flyers and say, 1 hour. We're not going to waste your time. We're not going to waste your time. Just 1 hour. And it's all funny. Don't say, you know, people can be stressed. Jesus took his disciples all day. They were preaching. They were following him. You know, to follow God is a long thing. Everywhere he went. Then he said, we are going to pray. And he told them in the evening. And they weren't there. They are the ones that will serve his food. They are the ones that will do everything. They are the ones that will help him with everything. And they are sleeping. Someone said they are tired. You know. And they got into the middle of the transfiguration. Because we still don't know the beginning. Did you know the beginning? They were sleeping. They all woke up and said, oh, we are one big happy family. Oh, you don't get the joke, do you? But you know what I mean? The same people that could not pray for 1 hour, they were catching fish overnight. Same people. Where did they get the energy from? When it comes to spiritual things, the energy will just disappear. But natural things, it will be like a grace came from the devil. You are just strong. Gisting. Hey! Say, did I just say about what happened 2 years ago? Ah, let me tell you that one. 3 hours. First session. Second session. When it comes to the word, you say, he has said this thing last week. So, teaching is a core component of Christian worship, and we must take it that serious. Are you there? Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. He says they shall speak with new tongues. An Exodus experience. He said they shall take up serpents. If they get dead, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they the sick shall come. So after the Lord has spoken unto them, was he in heaven? He said up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Pay attention to the word heaven. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, is italicized, and confirming the word with signs following. Then he says, amen. Mark the word heaven there. Then in Luke 24, again we reemphasize the fact that the Bible of Jesus and the Bible of the apostles was the Old Testament. At no time did Jesus call Genesis Old Testament or Exodus or Isaiah. He simply called it the law or simply called it the scriptures or the word of God. They were never called Old Testament. Old Testament is a latter invention or inventions of translators. That should be prominent on your mind. Okay, good. So, here in Luke 24, he said unto them, 25, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? This is the beginning of Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, Jesus simply interpreted the scriptures. I've said it before, that the scriptures, the Old Testament books, are not different from the epistles. Right? The only difference is the interpretation. So you can definitely call the epistles the interpretation of the Old Testament, or commentaries of the Old Testament. Genesis, Malachi, and me. So here, it's clear that that's his Bible. In 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. So I must be interested in the stories, the narratives, the history, the personalities written in the Old Testament. I must be interested. Because within the stories, the narratives and the personalities is the Word of God. God's Word is in human events, human interactions, human statements. Alright, even within the disobedience and rebellion, we find the word of God right there. So I must study the stories. I mustn't get disinterested, scared, or get jinxed. I must read them. I must understand them. So he said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then you will need to understand that they might understand the scriptures. That's what they were called, the scriptures. And also we said that in the time of Jesus, they were called the law, the prophets, and the writings. The Tanakh, the Nevi'im, and the Netuvim, sorry. Tanakh. The Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Netuvim. So that's what they were called. Tanakh. Which means that the law, the prophets, the writings, is not called Old Testament. It's not old. No, it's not old. That's exactly what the apostles read. And that's what they taught from. Like I said earlier in the earlier service, imagine if sometimes you go for book reviews. I've gone for book reviews before, and we all sat down trying to make commentaries on a book. Imagine if you were in that audience, you never read the book, you don't have the book, and then you're listening to the commentary and say, wow, just listen to sweet oratory. You don't really understand what we're talking about because you don't have the book. We are making commentaries on the book. So the context of what we read in the epistles is the Old Testament. They are not different. The only differences are in the timing that the things happened. And that's why we said we developed the concept of codified language, where we say words of the New Testament are events, narratives, scenes, personalities, theology of the Old Testament. We also developed what we call the identification unifiers, the ability to look at books written in two different worlds and see what unifies both. You must develop an attitude of study, an attitude of learning God's word that way. So he calls it the scriptures. In John 20 and 21, he says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. When he has said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, look at that word, breathe on. I said it in the first service. If you read breathe on, what you think he did was put his nostrils on every person and say, okay, we're coming, you're going to get back again, come on. Saved. Of course, you have to remove your face mask. We're going to do that. That would have been evangelism. But when you go to the Old Testament, you see where that's used. Genesis 2, 7. Ezekiel 37, verse 5 and 9. You see exactly what he was doing. What he was doing there was he was teaching. That's what it means to breathe on people. You can only find that understanding in the Old Testament. So I said, you need the Old Testament to interpret the New Testament. Because the context of the New Testament are the Old Testament books. Can I have an amen here? Very good. So let's get back to Matthew. We haven't read Mark. Maybe we should read Mark first. Mark. Okay, we read Mark. Did you read Mark? Okay, I skipped something. I want to tell you that the word Mark, in the Mark, sorry, gospel, which we have studied before, is another Hebrew word, basar, B-A-S-A-R, or preacher of the gospel. It means the news of the kingdom. So if I were you, I would put beside Mark 16:15, alright, news about the kingdom of God. So when it says, go and preach the gospel, you can say, go and preach the kingdom of God. So I want you to listen to that very well. So preaching the gospel is the same as preaching the kingdom of God. Preaching the gospel is the same thing as preaching the kingdom of God. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. We're looking at the laying on of hands. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, publishes peace, and brings good tidings of good, and publishes salvation, and said unto Zion, Zion is kingdom, thy God reigneth. Look at the word, reigneth. Reigneth is kingdom, right? Huh? That's it. So the word gospel is kingdom. You are talking about a king and his kingdom. Say gospel is kingdom news. Now pay attention. Go back to that Matthew 28. And then 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority in heaven and earth. Now, if you notice, all the synoptic writers spoke about heaven. Mark 16, 19. It was received up into heaven. Luke 24 and 51. He was carried up into heaven. Now, John might have been different because John doesn't tell us anything in John 20, verse 24 to 25. Didn't say anything. Didn't tell us this fact. But in John 13, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Then John 21, verse 17. I ascend to my Father. I ascend to my Father. So there's an ascension being spoken of there. I ascend. So pay attention to that word heaven. Now go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And then verse 13. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say you are John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now I told you that this location is critical, just like we say in theology, when you study the Bible, pay attention to the place. Jesus is in a place, right? It's in the coast of Caesarea Philippi. That place where he made that statement, right, is a rock that is called the gates of hell. Okay? Where the emperor is worshipped. He is called Lord, the emperor, and that place is called the gates of hell, what we call shrines today. So he went there and made a confrontation. Now when you talk about kingdoms and gospel, you are making a confrontation. Kingdom is confrontation. Kingdom refers to authority, power, and all of that. So he stands in that place. They say, who do you say I am? Now, truth is, he said that because he was about to confront who was laying claim to being the Lord of heaven and earth. So he's confronted whoever was, the emperor there, and then he says, who do you say that I am? Now, if you are going to make that kind of statement in the gates of hell, then you must really have faith. Then Peter said, you are. Now, it's like saying, No. Let me use you guys for it. You have a signboard here, gates of hell. Looks like it. And then you're right here in the gates of hell, and then you ask, who do you say that I am? And then you have the Christ, the Son of God. The emperor bears that. Jesus says, who do you say I am? And Peter looks at it, and he looks at it and says, no, you, not this. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who's following this now? So it was a statement of confrontation. That shows us that every time we exercise faith in God, in Christ, we're confronting the powers of darkness. That he is God and not you. Hallelujah. So when Peter spoke up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Heaven simply means the supernatural world. You know where dead people go. I say also unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. So, now look at this illustration again. Upon this rock, which means he points to that rock that's called the gates of hell, I will build my church, the gates of the underworld. And this shall not resist it. Now the word prevail against is a bad language. Should be, shall not resist it. I will come and undo the powers of darkness, and this will not be able to resist it. And I'll give unto you the keys. Watch this. Of the kingdom of the supernatural. That's the word heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So it shows you that the church, watch this now, as is an Exodus people, we said that before, and also a supernatural people. Say, we're supernatural people. So when we say ecclesia, church, ecclesia is Exodus. Moses brought out the nation of Israel, and they are called a congregation, church, ecclesia. Acts 7, quickly, Acts 7, here is Stephen preaching, and then he says, Acts 7, and 38, this is he which was in the church, ecclesia, in the wilderness, the church, Acts 7, 38, in the wilderness. So, that nation is the Exodus nation, the church in the wilderness. Just write this down. Luke 9:31, the death and resurrection of Jesus was called an Exodus. It's also called Passover. Passover is an Exodus language. So we're a people of the Passover. We're people of, we call the Lamb, the book of the Lamb, the book of the Exodus. Lamb is Exodus. right? Passover is Exodus. Unleavened bread is Exodus. Baptism is Exodus through the sea. All those phrases shows us our deliverance, the kind of people that we are. Now what's going on here? Jesus is saying, heaven and earth have come together. Hallelujah. In the church, heaven and earth has come together. Say it with me, in the church, heaven and earth have come together. The natural, come on, the natural and the supernatural. Now put it like this, the supernatural through the natural. Hallelujah. Taking the supernatural through the natural. Now, we are here gathered naturally because we have seats, but we are gathered here naturally and walking in the supernatural. So heaven and earth is here. Who's following this? Come on. You following this? The natural and the supernatural. Whatever you bind. In two chapters afterwards, he's talking about church gatherings. He says, if your brother offends you, you go to him. You win him back. If he doesn't listen to you, Matthew 8:15, you go with two or three brethren. In verse 16, if he doesn't listen to them, he said, you tell it to the church. In 17, the word church there is actually gathering of people. You tell it to the church. Now, what happens in the gathering of people? This is why, you know, we must be careful not to turn the church meetings into mere social gatherings. He said, when the church is gathered, right, watch this, he says, let them do unto him as an eating and a publicly. Let's take 18 together. And I say unto you, are you there? Matthew 18, are you there? Let's go. Whatsoever you bind on earth. Now the word shall be, should be, is bound. Why is it bound? Watch this now. Do you know why it's bound? Because Jesus has authority in heaven and earth. He has built his church. The gates of hell did not prevail. So watch this. Let's take it together. 18. Verily I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is what? Lose in heaven. So look at 19. If two of you shall agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done of them for my Father which is in heaven. On earth. Then it says in 20. Where two or three are gathered together. Now, where are we gathered together? Watch it now. On earth. Come on. This auditorium is on earth. Well, because we are here, it's also in heaven. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? That there I am. He uses the Old Testament description of God. There I am in the midst. Which means even though we are gathered on earth, we have heaven here. So our meetings are heavenly. It means they are supernatural. Heaven and earth have come into unison when we gather. I told you last week, the word heaven doesn't mean where people go to when they die. It simply means not visible. Heavenly or heaven simply means not visible. Like we looked at it last week. Here's Jesus in Luke 24. And verse 31, he vanished out of their sight. That's all that happened. Jesus did not leave the earth. He only vanished out of their sight. And he appeared again to them. And he didn't leave them. Like the song we sang. He never said goodbye. He vanished out of the sight, but never said goodbye. He is only not seen with naked eyes, but is as much here. So we are in the supernatural world as believers. The supernatural world is the context of the scriptures. We've done that study already. So when we talk about the heavenlies, never think about somewhere outside the earth. Look at Ephesians 2. Learning something? So you must take church meetings very seriously. Church meetings are heaven and earth, right? Come on. What we bind, what we do, right? What we do is heaven and earth. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Watch this now. Ephesians 2. Verse 1. You, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now let's read verse 2 slowly. Wherein in time past, we walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the, you know, now it says that when a man is not born again, and he's against the gospel, or he doesn't believe the gospel, he says there is the spirit that walks in him. You say, well, what spirit? No, the guy is just, it's just his lifestyle. It's just the way he thinks. He's just a free thinker. He says there's a spirit that walks in the children of disobedience. Now, if you look at Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:3, in the heavenlies in Christ. The word eporanios, E-P-O-R-A-N-I-O-U-S, E-P-O-R-A-N-I-O-U-S, eporanios. It means heavenly. Alright? Now pay attention to something. In Ephesians 6, hallelujah. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be, now this is talking about preaching the gospel, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Let's take 12 slowly together. Let's go. For we wrestle not against, no, hold on. Remember what Jesus told Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. For we wrestle not against what? But against principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness. Now you know what happened? The King James is scared. So you hear I. They didn't write heavenly. But the word there is heavenlies. The same word eporanios. So he's saying that when we go out to preach the gospel, we preach the gospel. He says that what we're wrestling against is not flesh and blood. We're having a battle with the unseen world. Then he says principalities and powers. Watch this. And he uses the word spiritual, the rulers of the darkness of this world, kosmokrator. K-O-S-M-O-K-R-A-T-O-R. It says spiritual. The same word, pneumaticos. Can you imagine? Look at those words. Pneumaticos, R-K. Now when you get the Old Testament, you read them as the host of heaven or heavenly hosts. Host of heaven. Spiritual things. Spiritual beings. So where are we going to find them? Ephesians 2:1, the spirit that is now at work in the children of disobedience. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you can see here, we have the blessing in the heavenly world, and we also have opposition from the unseen world. That's the reason why a preacher of the gospel must be a person of prayer. A prayer. A person of prayer. And a deep person of the spirit. The same, you don't prepare to preach like you prepare to give a lecture. It's not the same thing. Want to give a lecture, just go there and give a lecture. Just you want to lecture people. Yeah, you want to show your stuff. But when it comes to preaching, it's spiritual warfare. The words are not just mere grammar. No, they're not. Praise the Lord. Are you still out there? Paul says you put on the old armor of God. So the church, therefore, is not a mere gathering. It's not just a mere gathering. When you're coming for a service, some people who prepare, they'll make up, male and female. They'll make up, they wear their best attire. Oh, yeah, it's not good, bad because it's still on earth. I like to see that earthly part. You're looking okay. But it's not just a gathering. It's not just It's not just a place where we gather and we're doing earthly things. You see, you find a church, they prepare everything for the service. You know, and they make up for the service too. Put the lights, you know, the people need light, you know, when people see light, you know, they really like the service, you know, and then before you come in, the music is, you know, and then they make sure the ushers, Dr. Lamina called his song yesterday, air hostesses, you know, without a play. Welcome, bless you. Some guys are really, you remember one church I preached at, and they did all that red carpet thing. You know, in all of the lined up, and then they say, can, and then they give him the microphone. Is that, we're so glad to have you, can you tell us what to expect in this service? As I go into the service, you will know. I've given speeches in places that is not church. I know the difference. This is not that place. No, when we now go to the service, the guy that held the microphone, when I have people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you are never sighed in tongues. I see what they are using him for. Air hostess and air host without a plate. That's what Dr. Lamina called yesterday. Hello, 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 here I come, here I come. Come off it. Praise the Lord. This is heaven and earth. Hallelujah. We're doing supernatural things here. Glory to God. I said glory to God. We're engaging God's will by His Spirit here. Before services, you know what you are coming to do. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. No, you know, Paul is asking that you are the temple of God. Glory. Hallelujah. So this gathering is the temple of God. That's what it is. You are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. Hallelujah. Amen. This is not Rotary Club. Is that clear? No, it's not. This is not Rotaract. I think Rotaract is the son of Rotary. Or Lion. Or Lioness. I don't really think it's a club, but it's not just church. This is not I'm just thinking, the way we are doing things in this church, we should, you know, in my village association. You know, the way we are doing things in this church, one of our churches abroad was telling me that someone said, you people have brought this thing to this country. This is your prayer, teaching. It doesn't work like that, you know. So I said, that's an idiot. And people travel states to come for that service. I said, no matter what nation we get to, our mandate never changes. No. Praise the Lord. Never changes. Never. But, you see, go out for evangelism. The guy has been to 378. He said, that place where they, and he lied. He said, they pray 3 hours before every service. You are not just carnal. You are a liar. I hear you. Your message. He says, it's just teaching. No. Some people didn't even come with Bible, just put it on the screen for them. It's a lie. Hallelujah. This is heaven on earth. Hallelujah. This is where, you know, in my bank, whenever we have a meeting like that and we have a annual general meeting of them, we normally share snacks. And so when the meeting goes to 1 hour, 1 hour, 30 minutes, the attention span of people is compromised. So at that point, you can bring in the bunch to spice up the atmosphere. They will now relax. They will go back to them. They will now... Seven times. The church is a temple, praise the Lord. We are the temple of God. Amen. Ephesians 2:20. He says, I built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly firm together grows up into an holy temple in the Lord. That's what we are. Not to sit down and begin to discuss, let's discuss, how is the church going to vote? Vote for who? See, someone said, can you give me a prophecy about who, what's God saying about Nigerian government? Who's going to, I said, do you have your PVC? He said, no, you don't have your PVC, you have Bible. When you get to the election, they show them your Bible and print on it. Rubbish. That's not the job of the church. It's not the job of a pastor to tell them, you know what, this is what God is telling me about political parties. That's a lie. Praise the Lord. That's why many pastors have gotten their noses bruised. Because both God and them, they missed it. God lost elections. They lost elections because it's not their job. Praise the Lord. Oh, you're in the pulpit, just preach the gospel. Is that clear? Who's following this morning? The church is a supernatural people. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And 4. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, my spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, I recognize this. See, I recognize this. You know, life is about recognition. To know who is who and who is what. Yeah, I remember a sister, she said she was some 21 years ago or so, she was going out with an unbeliever. So they now asked me to speak to her. You know, I've had people tell me to, I'm always the last person to speak to her. The pastor has spoken to her. She has talked to her guns and her ammunition. So it got to my point. I said, why are you in a relationship with him? He said, sir, thank you for asking me. He said, he's such a nice guy. The only thing is that he's not born again. The only thing. Ah, I said, but I know that when it comes to godliness, he has it. When it comes to, I didn't cancel again. No? So because, you know, when you hear something new, you have to go and study it. So, that for me was a new thing. So I had to go and check my Bible again and say, well, Lord, you know, there are many teachers now in the body of Christ. She said, I know. He's such a, say, no. And she now lambasted the believers, including our pastor. Ah! They were just looking at you. When you are going through trials in life, you just say, it is where, it is where, it is where, it is where. But he's always there. The problem is that he has recognition problems. You know? I don't know what to call that. Those who deal with ophthalmology should give me a spiritual language for that. But she just couldn't recognize who the guy was. So, you know, I said, okay, I wish you well. That's what you do now. Bible says, leave a friend alone. I said, bless you. Recognition. When you come to church, where do you think you are? I'm just in the garden of some people. Well, they don't read the Bible. Everybody's having a nice time, you know. No. You must recognize where you are. Something is going on here. Hallelujah. Something is happening. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Something is happening right now. Glory to God. This is the temple of God. The temple of the Spirit. Heaven and earth. Hallelujah. The supernatural is here. Glory to God. Now, usually the reason why we miss the supernatural, like Brother Higgins said, we're looking for the spectacular. And that's why a lot of pastors, they like to mystify the things of God. They like to mystify it. Now, you met me, a better guy, years ago. Now, I had two extremes at some point. There was a point because I now had met the word. I now could quote Greek and Hebrew, something 27 years ago or so. I would now purposely wear two rings. You can't imagine it, right? Two rings and a wrist chain. And I wear a long chain. Then my hair was always Jericho. You cannot believe it, right? You, I'm sure you're looking, yeah, you know, one time I told my son, he said, I'm trying to draw it in my mind. I can't picture what you're talking about, you know. And then I'll just go, why would I do that? I just wanted to create debate. So you say, he's wrong. I said, well, let's see the Bible. Just to create debate. I want to try to edify you. Just so you, I know the Bible. See, I say, what did the prodigal's father put on his son's hand? He said, a ring. See? So when you were born, were you not born with Jericho? See? Just creating debates. Stupid guy I was. So I then moved to another extreme, which was, if I'm going to preach, I'll now dress without formal comeliness. So when I come, say, who is the prime minister? I say, I'm the one. So I now wear like slippers. They now look at me like, ah. So after the meeting now, they now say, wow. See the grace. But you know, it will take me 30 minutes to get them to first accept the way I'm looking. So one extreme to the other. Now the point is, oftentimes, so you see ministers, they try to mystify. So pastors coming to the service is just quiet. Now when you see that, I say, and that's why sometimes their families, their spouses and kids don't see it that way. You all the time like that. I think Pastor Adeboye told the story of how he told the secretary, don't allow anybody to come and see me. I'm praying. And he said, that is you, he's praying. So they shut the door. Hey boy, come. He's praying. Hey boy, he's praying. You know, and then his son came from school. Didn't even talk to the secretary. Open the door, father. Enter the man and just sat on his leg, father. The secretary ran in there and said, oh, I said, no, this one is my son. He knows me at close range. So sometimes preachers do that thing, you know, and it's for your sake. Because if they look like you, you will not know who they are. So just because we do like this. You know why? Because God uses men. And you must have recognition abilities to look beyond the men. As you are sitting there, hear me. This service alone, this service with all of us here, can do so much for you. That so much, this service can be an answer to prayers of 30 years. But you see, it depends on recognition. The same way Israel did not recognize God because he came as a man. What were they expecting? In fact, he should have used 9 months for what? Almighty God. From conception to delivery, 30 seconds. Let there be light. And there was a song. Hello, God. Okay. So, from as he was born, who's looking for a manger? Manger what? The manger is already in the heavens. Bah, bah. He comes out. Then, grow. By the time he's out of the womb, he's already 30 years old. So all those things, you know, will make everyone say, is this not? But you see, that's the point. When we say heaven on earth, God will do it through men. The church is a garden of men, but men who are supernatural. So don't look for the spectacular and miss the supernatural. Psalm 8. Are you learning something? I miss the supernatural. Psalm 8. Verse 4. We were there last week. What is man? Remember that? That you are mindful of him. Not the son of man that you visit him. He said you made him a little lower than the Elohim. That word there is Elohim in the Hebrew. E-L-O-H-A-I-M. Gods or supernatural beings. Made him lower than the Elohim. That means when you look at man, he's not spectacular. That's what he's saying. There's nothing spectacular. It's a shade lower. There's nothing spectacular. Nothing. He has the same hairstyle. He drinks like you drink. He eats like you eat. What is man? And you see, look at 1 Corinthians 8, just quickly, just a reference point. Paul lets us know, 1 Corinthians 8, in verse 5, though they are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, there be gods many, 1 Corinthians 8, 5, and lords many. Gods many, lords many, spiritual beings many. Now, I mentioned this before, and let me just go through that quickly. Before you got the King James translation on most of the English translations, you had the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek rendering of the Hebrew Bible. Now, the Septuagint, interestingly, adjusted the word Elohim, or sometimes called sons of God, and just started using the word angels. The reason is to make a distinction. But anytime you read angels in the epistles of four gospels, go back to the texts in the Old Testament and see what is he referring to. I told you angels is not any particular being. It's a carrier of a message. Okay? Let me just run through that quickly. So, when you read the epistles, you will find that same trend. Look at Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times, verse 1, and in diverse manner, spoke in time past unto the fathers. Notice the word, by the prophets. The prophets are men, prophetes in the Greek, and Nabai in the Hebrew. And in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. The word there is character in the Greek. Flawless, upholding all in hypostasis by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Pay attention to verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels. Now, if we are going to read this in the Hebrew Bible, it will be the Elohims, supernatural beings, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He's talking about God as a man, Jesus, and he's saying he has a more excellent name than supernatural beings. The word Cretan here, better, should be paid attention to. Besides this book, you'll find it in 1 Corinthians 7, it's a comparison. 1 Corinthians 7. Now, these supernatural beings are spectacular in appearance. We're going to see that shortly. 1 Corinthians 7, 9. It is better to marry than to born. Cretan. In Hebrews 7:7, the less is blessed of the better. Hebrews 7:22, a better testament. Hebrews 8:6, a better covenant. Better promises. Hebrews 9:23, better sacrifices. Hebrews 10:34, better and enduring substance. Hebrews 11:16. Pay attention to this. A better country, a heavenly one, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Hebrews 11:35. Better resurrection. Hebrews 11:40. God provided something better for us. Hebrews 11:40. Hebrews 12:24. Speaks better things than of Abel. So better is a comparison. You are making a comparison, not just that, you are showing that one, right, is the fulfillment of the other. Comparison, one is the fulfillment of the other. Three, one has authority over the other. Okay? 1 Peter 3 and 17. It is better if the will of God be so. 2 Peter 2:21. So when he says he has a, is made much better than the angels, he's talking about authority and superiority. What's the significance of this? As you read further, you will see that in verse 7, he says he makes his angels spirits. His ministers a flame of fire. They are spectacular. That's the point. They are spectacular. When you see these supernatural beings, they are spectacular. But then look at what the writer says. In verse 13, but which of these spectacular beings did he at any time say, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies your footstool? They are not given that authority. That's not all. In fact, in speaking about Jesus, who is a man, he says, thy throne, O God, verse 8, is forever and ever. It means God adopted the nature of man and not of angels. If God adopted the nature of man and not of angels, it shows you where the authority lies. In Hebrews 2 again, verse 5, for unto the angels, or the sons of God, or the Elohims, hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak? Let me explore that word world to come a little bit. Now, the world to come, the word there is a bit not complicated. It is the word oikomene, showing you God's new world. Of course, there's disobedience, there's sin. Then when God reconstructs the world through Jesus, he said he doesn't put it under the supernatural beings. He still puts it under man. God never changed his method. It must have been delayed, sometimes permissive to have used other beings at some point in history. But his perfect will remains man. So Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them, who shall be heirs of salvation? If you have followed us in our studies of so great salvation, that's Deuteronomy 32 verse 8. That's just by the side. So, Jesus takes the place or takes the form of man, not just redemption, but to also show where the authority lies. Hebrews 2 and 9. Of course, Hebrews 2, 7 and 8 says he has put all things in subjection under him. We saw that last week. In that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, we don't see those things. We don't see them under him. But we see Jesus follow this pattern very quickly. Who was made a little lower than the Elohim for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now listen to this quickly. The word captain there, archegos in the Greek, A-R-C-H-E-G-O-S. A-R-C-H-E-G-O-S. You see it in Acts 3:15, Prince of Life. Acts 3:15 and Acts 5:31. Acts 3:15, the Prince of Life. Acts 5:31, a prince. And Hebrews 12:22, author and finisher, author. Now, this word in the Hebrew is from the word Sarah, S-A-R-A-R. It is used for captain, the captain of the hosts. It's a word used for a military or oftentimes a team. So now, when you use captain, you are saying whoever is leading is similar with him. So if he calls Jesus our captain, it means God took sides with man. Like I said last week, not only men sinned in the Old Testament, angels also sinned. 2 Peter 2:4 says the angels that sinned. You must have read that in Genesis 6:1-4. And you also see Jude 6, the angels that kept not their first estate. But God in Christ doesn't take their place. He doesn't take their position. He takes the position of man to be their captain. Now look at 11. Both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to be called, to call them what? Brethren. So see, who's following this? Come on. Are you following this? So God takes the place of man. Why? Because that's where the authority lies. It's only through man you can make correction. It's only through man you can do redemption. God cannot dwell in angels. Or let me put it like this. God does not dwell in angels. God only dwells in man. So Hebrews 2 says he calls them brethren. Hebrews 2:12, I declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now he says in verse 13, have put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. Now slowly read 14. 14 has a very vital lesson. Let's read it together. For as much as the children are what? Okay, that is human nature, right? Come on, are you following this? Human nature as different from divine beings, right? Come on. Are you following this? Okay, now, so he's making a distinction between supernatural beings and natural beings. So he says, he also partook of the same, which is that? Flesh and blood. Right? Come on. That through death, he might destroy he that had the power of death, a supernatural being. So Jesus defeated a supernatural being by being a man. Showing you where the authority lies. Look at 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Let's take 16 together. For verily, he took not the nature of angels, but he took on the nature of the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be like, made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Can we take verse 18 together? For in that he himself also suffered being tempted, is able to succor them that are tempted. Look at the sequence. Which means that man looks natural, but man's authority is what? Supernatural. So, you can easily miss the supernatural when you are looking for the spectacular. It's not the way we think. I thought you would make someone supernatural, I mean in makeup, to have supernatural authority. No. God put supernatural authority in a natural body. Who's following this? Come on. You know, God always breaks the rules. I thought when we are in Christ, as soon as I get born again, I start my ears, just stand up. Now you have the Holy Ghost. Then I start to, you have the Holy Ghost. Then when I want to eat, the food just enters my stomach, power. We have the Holy Ghost. Everything is just normal. I'm just normal. Except those of you who change your names. That's why they are looking for your name in the book of life. They've not found it. You changed it 2 times. You know, and he just did it that way. Look at how Jesus defeated the devil as man, because God has never changed his method. When man fell to a supernatural being, Genesis 3. The serpent was a supernatural being in the garden. The Nakash. He said to him, you think I'm going to change things? Is the seed of the woman, hallelujah, that will bruise the head of the serpent. It's man that will do the job. It's man that will do the job. It's man that still does the job. So every time we pray, oh God, we must look out, who is God using? Because, like I said earlier, you must have recognition. Say, I have recognition. So I say here, I said, man is the best of two worlds. Not better now, best. Hallelujah. He's the best of two worlds. Look up, guys. Nothing, look up here. Nothing supernatural should scare you. Did you hear what I just said? In fact, for me, I prefer something to be jazz. It's easier for me to deal with. You know, because if you use natural strength, if you give me a punch, but if we stay in the realm, where I have authority. That's why you don't get to fight the devil in the realm of the natural. He will whip you there. But let's come. You know, that's how sometimes you want to fight someone and say, come. And the guy is following you. There's one place like that in Mushin, they used to call it, Akala. I was something like 94, so we're going to do evangelism. Someone say, please don't go there. We say, there are where people steal, and you are pursuing them, they run to the police. But when they do evangelism then? That's a stronghold. They come here. Yeah, let's go. Say, Jesus, come. And then you follow the guy into a place, they lock the door, packer. Then you see everybody inside. You say, what's he here for? Sir, I was only praying with you. So you see, when it comes to the believer, the supernatural is where you are the best. Hallelujah. That's where you are the best. Glory to God. That's where you are the best. Because Jesus took out the devil as a man. Thanks be unto God. Are you there? So, when it comes to the things of God, what is his method? Man. As we pray, oh God! You know, some guys, they're praying, oh God! And we do that. And God said that to me years ago. I was, this is not doctrine, this is all for us as church, but it helps you. I was coming in and then I saw something that happened. I was in the plane. And then I saw how a man treated the air hostess, not the other one I was talking about. And then Lord said, when you get back to Lagos, go and teach people honor. I always use men. And that's it. Sometimes we're praying, oh God, and you see people on social media, they are praying, God, we want the revival of the word and the spirit in Nigeria, in Africa. And in the same breath, they are abusing men and women of God. They are not intelligent. They are not intelligent. Israel was praying, oh God, rescue us from Pharaoh. Who did God use? One guy that was settling fight with knife. Counsel. He said, who made you a judge and ruler? Get away! You know, you have said, God said, you guys don't like him. Why don't you like him? See how he said, okay, Moses, they don't like you. Who should I use? He brought the same person back. The same person. Say, I have recognition. Sometimes when our pastors, I tell them, and some things you want to do sometimes, and I say, let's hold on a bit. There might be people that God wants to use for this that we're praying about. Our job is just to support them. There are things that you'll be praying about. And you see, and I was going to say this as I was coming, I just was led to mention this, that sometimes you're praying for your family to be saved. Even Jesus, all his family members, that's Jesus. But all of them became believers. Why? Other people were sent to them. Sometimes you, just as you are praying, of course, don't become an hindrance. Okay? When your friend comes to your house to come and preach to them, you say, are you the friend of this liar? It's not good. It's not good. Don't give your friend other demons to pursue. Is that very clear? So, sometimes it's other people. God will use other people. And he will bring his word. I remember my father, you know, and though he's not sure when he got saved, but the one I know, I'll say. And then we had to have this conflict, and I was always fighting him. So I began to pray more for him. I prayed more. And a book that I did not really like, I didn't like the book, I gave him to read. He said, okay, he's going to read it, he's on leave. He began to read it. He said, you know, when I read that book, I confessed Jesus as my Lord. I said, which book? Now, the book is written by somebody that I like, but I just didn't like the book. I thought I was going to want to say, Daddy, say after me. My own is to pray. Hallelujah. A book. Praise the Lord. Say, I just confessed Jesus as Lord. Say, give me more of that man's book. I didn't. I just gave him Kenneth Hagin's book. He said, but that one, I said, this one is this one learned from him. I've never told this story publicly before. Hallelujah. So when we say the Holy Ghost, we are talking about God walking through me. Do you hear what I said? Because man is God's method. Man is God's method. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach. The Spirit upon is God walking through man. Genesis 1, 2. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. The Spirit upon simply means God walking through man. Look at Numbers 11. Say, I have recognition. I discern well, and I know well So there are some of us here. You've been believing God for healing. And the healing minister is your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your cousin, your neighbor. And you are praying hard. You are really praying. I told you the story before. I was in my own town. My brother was ill. He was on the bed. He had been there. They had taken him somewhere, brought him back. He was really, really ill. Then I'm watching TV. And I'm watching the late Archbishop Idahosa, the founding bishop of the Church of God Mission. Didn't like him because I was told that he was wearing Agbada. The Agbada is for those who are antichrist. Be careful what you hear. Yeah, I heard it. So every time they say, Idahosa and you, I'll change OGTV. I just watch something else. So that day my brother was ill. I just for the first time, I don't know what happened to me. It must have been God anyway. And I just paid attention. I can't remember the sermon because all through the sermon I was just looking at him. See gold ring. Should a man of God, a real man of God, wear it? I was going to wear it later. I said, look at him. What? Is this one different from the primate of the Church of the Lord Alive right now? So I didn't listen to the sermon. He just, as he finished preaching, if you know the Archbishop then, he said, there's someone here. You are near Ijebudi. And he went, I said, ah. Eh? He said, your brother is lying beside you. Hey, and he said, put your hands on him right now. He said, command him to get up. I had never read any book on believer's authority. I was not even born again. So, if he's born again, there was no believer's authority. He says, I said, get up. I said, how you get up? And he got up. I said, sit down. I said, hey. From that point, that man is a man of God. Hallelujah. Who's following what I'm saying today? You get it? So, you know, you will have recognition. Numbers 11. The Lord said unto Moses. Now, Moses said, Lord, I can't bear this burden alone. You know, he said, I can't bear it alone. I can't. You gave me these people. Verse 14, I'm not able to bear the burden alone because it's too heavy for me. If you want to kill me, come kill me. Bones are the way you talk to God. The other time God said, I'm going to build a new nation through you. He said, if you sit down, they don't make fun of you. There are two people out. God said, oh, yeah, you're right. They're just making fun of me. He said, come kill me, kill me. He said, okay, I know what's wrong with you. Just come. He said, you know what? Look at 16. Gather unto me 70 elders of the children of Israel, whom you know. Look at it. You know. Huh? God is saying, the people you, Moses, you know, to be the elders. Bring them to the tabernacle. They may stand with you. I will come down and talk with you. And I'll take the spirit that is upon you and put it upon them. No, God can't. How can God do that? God can. He's able to do. God does not need any man. Which Bible are you reading? The Bible you are reading is written by men. He said God cannot do that. You must be drunk or something. He committed all he will ever do to men's languages. Oh yeah, write it. Write it in your language. Write it in your own expression. That's how it works. That's how it works. He said, and look at it in verse 24. Moses did that. And then he gathered the people to himself. Said, they will stand with you. Hallelujah. With you. Glory to God. I thought God would just say, you know, I'll get new leaders. Tomorrow morning you'll see them in church. You know, that's what I was telling you. No. He said, you will come here. Hallelujah. Same way he preserved Moses' life by men. The midwives. His sister. His mom. By men. He raised him through Jethro. That's how God works. Get used to it. Some of us, you pray and pray and pray. When you don't go out to receive miracles, you wear glasses. You won't see anybody again say, Lord, Lord, show up, do something new in my life. Somebody greeting, something new, something new. You won't talk to anybody, you won't see anybody. Say, Lord, do only what only you can do. Stay there. Tell me what only he has ever done. Mention one thing. When they were at the Red Sea, Moses said, be still. I'll wait for the sight of the Lord. You know, said, you wait there forever. Pharaoh will just gather all of you. Better, what did I give you? Pharaoh, let's set it now. I told you will come now. Yeah, I'll come now. Say, God uses men. That's how he does it. Now, let me tell you another intriguing thing. In Numbers 27, you know, Moses had missed God. He got angry and God said, you know, you didn't honor me before these people. So, you are not going to take them into the land. God has said that to Moses. Numbers 20. But look at Numbers 27. If you miss anyone, don't miss this one. Numbers 27. Now here's Moses. In 15, he spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. He knows that, yes, God is the one leading them. Because we know the angel of the Lord was before them. But he knows that that's not how God works. It's the natural and the supernatural. Who's following this? Come on. So he says, okay, get a man, okay, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which may bring them in the congregation of the Lord, so that the congregation of the Lord shall not be as a sheep having no shepherd. Now, watch what happened. I thought God just told him, you didn't honor me. Now, some of us will have just taken note of that. Oh, with all the, God has used this man so much. See what has happened. That's what you'll be reading in newspapers. You'll be reading it. This man. You'll be seeing different scandals. You'll be reading it and be studying it in context. Whereas Bible, you won't read down and say, what's the name of the woman again? Jemima. How much did this stole? And you read all those things. You read all those funny things. What else did they say? Did they? Look at what happened here. See, God has left this guy. No. The Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, his own servant, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hands on him. You mean, after God has said, you've missed it, he uses the man who has missed it. Remember? Eli. Eli was same guy couldn't see. And Samuel, you know, he's in LMA, he's studying the word. He's praying and fasting. And he has Samuel. He runs to Eli. Eli says, I didn't call you. That means he's a good guy. Because he called me yesterday, but he called me all the time. Second time he goes, third time he says, the next time you hear him, say. And that was when the Lord spoke to him. How come God did not do it directly? That's how it works. Never use press reports to judge any ministry. Did you hear me, says Community Church? God used Joseph. This guy was in the newspapers as trying to rape the wife of Potiphar. That was his record. That's his CV. But that's what good God used to save the nation and other nations. God's opinion about people does not change because of what they did not do right or what we think about them. Who's following this? Come on. Rehard Bunker told the story of Grant Jeffrey. See, Grant or George. People are reading him off in ministry. So Rehard was in Bible school. So he said, as I was going and I saw the house of George Jeffrey. Said, is that the same George Jeffrey? They said, yes. That God used? Say yes. Same George Jeffrey? So he went in. The man was already old, feeble, sick. People are reading him off in ministry. So he sat down with George Jeffrey. And George Jeffrey said, God is going to use you, young man, and laid hands on him. Laid hands on him and prayed and wept on him, over him. Red Bonkey said he left. That was where he received the call, the power of God, the grace of God for ministry. As he walked away, a few days after, he heard the man died immediately after. God walks that way. Hallelujah. He walks that way. That's how he works. Some people had written up. Glory to God. That's why the Bible says that Samson did more in his death, one event, than his entire lifetime. Those of you who are in the Sorosoke generation, you are not here. Nobody here is like that. You write yourself off. God does not use the media to work. Did you hear what I just said? The same Moses is the one that now has to lay hands on Joshua. Same person. Deuteronomy 34. I hope you are learning something. Verse 9. Now, Joshua obviously must have written this. He says, Joshua the son of Nun, maybe not, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. Go and read the entire book of Joshua. He never uttered Moses' disobedience. In fact, till his last days, Joshua kept saying, I did all that the Lord commanded his servant Moses to do. I've told you before, it's your pastor that should say, I am human. It's not you that should say it. The moment you say, my pastor is human, you cut something off. Don't say that. It's the pastor who has to be humble that must continually, like Peter, James, Peter and John in Acts 3, and Paul and Barnabas in Acts 14, tearing their clothes. The pastor must do that often and say, no, I'm just a man. That is his own service to the Lord. But you are not just a man. You are my man of God. Hallelujah. You are God's servant to me. Glory to God. People can call it worship, whatever they like, let them call it. That's how God works. And you must be sensible. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Samuel 10. God is going to anoint a king, Saul. He uses Samuel. 1 Samuel 16. Why doesn't he do this thing on his own? Why must he use people? Can't he just, David just appear and say, I am anointed. Hey, I am anointed. No, he doesn't. He uses men. 1 Samuel 16. And verse 13. The Spirit of the Lord came on him. Why? Because Samuel anointed him with oil. Look at the patriarchs. Look at all the patriarchs. Abraham to Isaac. Isaac to Jacob. Jacob to the children of Joseph and Joseph and his kids. Look at something interesting that I want to show you. These patriarchs, Genesis 27. Isaac could not see physically. He's not fit physically. Not just that. Genesis 48. Verse 1. Jacob was sick. Verse 10. His eyes were dim. He could not see. That means even physically, they were not fit. But those times, they ministered the power of God. They ministered the blessings of God. Who's following this? Come on. So never disqualify anybody. We're talking about the ministry of laying of hands. I'm going to talk about more of that in the third service. But I laid this foundation for you so that you can know how to receive from men. Men will keep being men. Nobody is going to be spectacular because God is using him. But you know what? I can see them in a supernatural way. Always and always. 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 I was told some of the protocol folks, sometimes when I have meetings, people are rushing to touch pastors' clothes, and I'm thinking, you know, you are protocol, and you're doing your job well. But you know, many of them, some of them, that's how they began ministry. Just touching the same clothes. Remember one time me and my brother, we went for a meeting, and then I wore this jacket like that. It was a funny jacket. And that jacket did a lot of wonders in that meeting. So my brother carried the jacket like this. We're going home together. And then my mom said, "Where are you coming from?" She said, "Be careful. This man is a man of God." So the next day I said, "Don't wash it yet. Ah, don't wash." Hallelujah. It depends on how you see things. Recognition. Those who crucified Jesus crucified God as a man. He wasn't less of who he was when he was crucified. No, he wasn't. Look at Elijah and Elisha. I thought God had chosen Elijah. Elijah. What did he say? He said, "Look, if you are there, right, when the Lord is taking me, and you can see me go." 2 Kings 2. Said, "When you see me, when you see me go, then that you ask for will come upon you. When you see me." That's what he asked him. In verse 10. "If you see me," why would God, "and as he saw him go, the mantle fell on him." We're going to get to the New Testament in the second service, third service. The mantle fell on him. God used Elijah to ordain Elisha. That's how he works. He uses men. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, men are God's methods. Glory to God. That means in my house, in my family, I have God's methods around me. Is that clear? Come on now. Come on, are you there? Including your children, right? Come on. Your siblings. Not just the pastor. Sometimes, some of us have, it's just the pastor. We just say, "Pastor." There are things God is going to use your wife, your husband. Honor must not just be to pastor. Honor is to all believers. Because what you have in your home is God's method. Can you have your husband lay hands on you? Can you have your wife lay hands on you? Can you have your children, your siblings lay hands on you? Can you? Praise the Lord. You know, after my brother, later on my brother was here one time again, and then me and my dad had resolved our civil war then. So he was seeing me now as a man of God. So one time my brother was ill again. And then he said, I was going, I said, "No, you can't go out. Come and pray for me." I said, "When I come," I said, "No, you have to do it now." You know what he did? He took my hand. So yeah, come. Oh, yeah, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Put it. Just, I know when you put your hand on him. What happened years before? Recognition. Recognition. Yeah, I was good. I just put my hand in. But it will work. I said, "It will work." That's what's going to work. It's recognition. Learn to recognize. Leviticus 6. Now are you there? Say, "I receive the ministry of man. I receive the ministry of the laying on of hands." Watch this quickly. This is at this is a very important event in the Jewish life. The Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. Watch this. In verse 20, that's the B part now. "When he had made an end of all reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon," Leviticus 16:21, "upon the head of the live goat and confess over him the iniquities of the children of Israel and their transgression of all their sins, putting upon the head of the goat and send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness." This is Isaiah 53. "The Lord had laid on him," verse 6, the iniquity of us all. God is asking a man to stand in the gap for him. Who's following this? Come on. Shall you lay both hands? So when men's hands are laid, it's God working. Numbers 8. I'll close here. Numbers 8. Are you learning something? And verse 10. Thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. The children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. God is asking the priests to act for him. Put your hands on the live goats. I'm the one doing it. Put your hands on this. I'm the one doing it. Laying on of hands. It's God that's doing it. Who's following this morning? Recognition. See it well. Say, I see what God is doing. Say, I see what God is doing. I'll read this for you. I'll follow in the second service. When hands are laid on you, receive it as God. Receive it from God. Receive it as God. Receive it from God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet.